from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're going to do some money in politics. Iowa Monday, New Hampshire a week later, the following Tuesday. Right here, live and in color, Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, Steve Moore, FreedomWorks, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and on most of these same radio stations, WABC radio host for More Money. More Money. Okay. Liz Peek, Hertz, you're a keen financial student. Hertz Rental sold all 25,000 of its electric vehicles. Cost them $250 million loss. They were Joe Biden's favorite company until they just sold all their EVs. And I just want to add to that, it's very cold in Iowa. Where's John Kerry now that we need him? Okay, yeah. Where is he? Because this is not global warming, Liz. This is global freezing in Iowa.
I tell you, Larry. Friday, competing headlines: 2023 hottest year on record. Global vortex coming. What will you do about it? I mean, really, it was wonderful. Look, the Hertz thing is really a great story in the sense that Hertz has a number of times. Placed their bets on EVs, the most recent time coming out of bankruptcy, and you could even argue that some of their bankruptcy problems had to do with allocating billions of dollars to bad ideas, including EVs, in the past. This isn't their first effort to go that direction. But guess what? Renters don't want them. And I heard a great story from somebody yesterday who was going to a wedding, and some friends of theirs rented a car from Hertz. They were given an EV, not told it was an electric car. They didn't even realize it for the first couple of hours of driving. And then all hell broke loose. They couldn't find a place to charge it. They got a charger that was slow. They were late to the wedding reception. I mean, it was a complete fiasco. And it really gives you a sense of just how misguided this idea was. I mean, it was totally kind of impractical idealism, if you will, over the practicality of people wanting to rent a reliable car. So, yeah, it's going to cost them hundreds of millions of dollars to sell their EVs, because guess what? The price of used EVs went down 30% last year. There's not much market for them because the new ones aren't selling.
Who the hell's going to buy a used EV? Yeah. I mean, honestly, not even Steve Moore will buy any. And Steve's not a brilliant financial person the way you are, Liz. But even Steve Moore is going to stay away from a used EV. It's like a used cup of coffee or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's just crazy because the prices are higher, the maintenance cost is higher. Hertz management said collision costs are higher. I've done some research on this. The average collision on an EV is $950 more to fix than a gas-powered car. There are all kinds of problems with these things, but it took Hertz to kind of say, hey, you know, line in the sand, this isn't working.
You know, Steve, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek. I mean, first of all, Liz is so smart. She's up to speed on this stuff. She didn't know it was coming. I don't think she knew it was coming, but she's great. So that's a big plus.
Well, she reads the hotline.
She reads the hotline. Yes, she does. Okay.
True, I do.
But the other thing I want to say is, you know, where's John Kerry now that we need him? Because it is 30, whatever it is, 30 below in Iowa, 40 below in Montana. It's very cold. It's often very cold in the month of January, for heaven's sakes. And sometimes it gets very hot in August, okay? This Biden-esque, John Kerry-esque, global warming emergency, it's a hoax. The whole thing is a hoax. Over 100 years, let's see, in which case Bjorn Lomborg's idea of technology innovations and economic growth will take care of it. We'll figure this out. But this whole thing, socialist Green New Deal, I'm just saying, it's a hoax. There is no emergency. There is no existential threat.
Well, Larry, I mean, you're so far behind the times because it isn't global warming anymore. It's climate change.
Climate change, I know.
The reason that they changed the nomenclature to climate change from global warming is that any change in any direction, you know, whether it's floods or droughts, whether it's snow or heat, whatever it is, it's all climate change. And that way you can't refute anything they say, because no matter what happens with the weather, seriously, this isn't science but no matter what happens, it's due to, quote, climate change. Look, the temperature of the planet over the last 100 years is warm by, best estimates about 1 degree.
Right.
By the way, a little warming is a much, much, much better thing for the planet than a little cooling. Mm. I mean, people are much more susceptible dying when you have freezing cold weather than when it's hot outside. But the fundamental flaw of the whole climate change thing is, does anybody here, look, the government can't fix the potholes. They can't balance the budget. They can't get the border, you know, straight. They can't, you know, get fix the tax system. They can't do anything. And it's you've got to have incredible faith in government to think that these nitwits are going to change the temperature of the planet. And so I think that's why, I think there's more and more skepticism. And on the thing about the EVs, and you guys are right. I mean, this has been a disastrous year and a half for the EV market. You know, you've got four of the major 10 EV companies that are basically in bankruptcy right now. I think you used the word fiasco, Liz, and mm-hmm. that's exactly right. And the more I think about it, you know why it's such a fiasco? If we had just kept the government out of it, mm-hmm. I think that the electric vehicle market would be in much better shape. I mean, when you have the government trying to force feed this stuff, and if you look at states, I was just looking at an analysis of where people are buying electric vehicles and where they're not. Well, guess what states they're buying them in, Larry?
California,
New York, New Jersey, right, the blue states. So it's become a kind of, the title of my column this week is Biden cars.
Yeah,
EVs are Biden cars. Biden, you know what?
Right.
And nobody wants to, you know, if you're conservative, you know, so it's become so political that I think that's been a curse for the electric vehicle market, not a blessing.
Well, my piece was, yeah, it's going to be cold in Iowa. Drill, baby, drill.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's my conclusion, all right? Because, first of all, if it's cold, you need heat and electricity. So that's a good thing. Let's get some from fossil fuels. I don't know how the windmills are going to do if it's 40 degrees below in these places, Iowa, Montana. I don't know. I'm just saying it's a hoax. It costs over $1 trillion, Liz. And if Joe Biden's reelected, they're going to come at it again. If he can get it through Congress, he'll come at it again. And we shouldn't do that. What happened? Republicans used to believe in all of the above. Maybe they still do. But all the above doesn't mean all the above $1 trillion. That's the key. And they voted for that bill, right? Yeah. They voted for the infrastructure bill. Remember?
They did not vote for the Inflation Reduction Act,
which is
entirely a climate bill, and that was voted 100% Democrats, and Kamala Harris had to break the tie on that, if you recall. So this is the Democrat legacy, but it isn't just the EV situation that is running into a brick wall. It's pretty much all of the climate agenda. It's very interesting. I mean, around the world, governments are falling who have embraced policies, pro-climate policies that voters simply do not like. Mm. And you can see it in Holland and in England. They've rolled back various restrictions. In Germany, they've done that.
Italy.
And by the way, we just had a giant natural gas deal done in the United States.
Yeah.
It was announced Friday. Why is that? Because the industry now has sort of taken heart. They found their big boy voices, and they decided that, yes, we're fossil fuel producers, and guess what? We're going to be using fossil fuels for the foreseeable future. The United States is becoming a big exporter of LNG because the world needs our natural gas, and so we're willing to invest in this. I mean, honestly, the fact that we had companies like Exxon and so forth saying, oh, we're really into green energy. Where's their brain?
Yeah.
Well, where's their courage?
But
really?
The Bidens have tried to regulate. They don't want any new LNG installations. That rule came out, too, which is insanity.
They just passed a methane rule on Friday.
The utter insanity.
Yep.
Utter, total insanity. You know, Trump up there talking drill, baby, drill in Iowa. He's very smart. I mean, remember, Iowa is an ethanol state, among other things.
But
you need to mix it in with gasoline. I mean, ethanol is one of the great ripoffs of all time. But if it wins in Iowa, what the hell?
It's not even economic. I mean, it's not even environmentally friendly. It's ridiculous. But we're stuck with it.
The ethanol debates are so wonderful. I'll go back in the White House one morning in a senior staff meeting. We get to yelling at each other about ethanol. Okay, I did not want the ethanol giveaway to Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst, even though I liked them very much. Of course, I lost. You always lose. But Chief Kelly, remember General Kelly was the chief of staff, and he starts telling the story how he went out and bought one of these big lawnmowers. Okay. And he put a big one, electric, whatever, gas-powered lawnmower. I don't know. I don't do lawnmowers. And he put ethanol into it, and it destroyed his new machine. Yeah. And so, therefore, he was siding with the anti-ethanol crowd.
It's all about lived experience, Larry.
Yeah. No, I mean, he wasn't really a policy guy, and he never said he was. But he just had this.
Funny.
He ruined his lawnmower. All right. We will let's take a break on that note, lawnmowers. We have other things to deal with. Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline. And please, folks, listen after this show, WABC Radio, more money from Steve Moore. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking money and politics with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor and syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline. And right after this show, on most of these same stations, more money. WABC radio host of More Money. All right, kids. So there I am reading the Wall Street Journal. I guess it was yesterday. Maybe it was Thursday. Big article. And lo and behold, Steve Moore seems to think that if Joe Biden is reelected, taxes are going to go up. A peculiar point of view. So here we have Steve Moore in the flesh. And I thought I'd ask, is that true, Steve? If Joe Biden is reelected, are taxes going to go up?
Through the roof. And, you know, it's important because if Biden were reelected, and, you know, there's a lot of question about whether he'll even be the nominee, but if he were reelected, then, you know, he's laid out his tax plan. And that was in his budget that, you know, this is their grand plan. And it is catastrophic. I mean, it would almost double the capital gains tax. It would raise the highest income tax rate back up to 40%. It would tax unrealized capital gains, which I don't think we've ever done in the history of this country before. You know, so somebody, let's say an Iowa farmer who made a $3 million gain on their farm valuation would have to pay a tax on it, even if they don't have the money to pay it. The corporate tax, which, you know, we got down to, what, 21%, Larry, they want to raise that to 28%. And when you add all these taxes together, nobody's going to want to invest in this country. The tax rate on a investment of, say, $1 million, and let's say you make $1 million, would be over 50%, closing in on 60%. So this would essentially reverse all of the gains that we've made since the Reagan administration, mm-hmm. in terms of having a lower tax rate system that, you know, that has really created strong economic growth. I think people have to be, you know, wake up, America. This is coming. And if Biden wins, he could even say, look, I have a mandate to do this.
Well, I think, I think Trump's done a good job getting that out there.
Yeah, he has.
The difference he's been on message. By the way, Steve, just, we'll let Liz in on a second, but the Bidens are, you know, Janet Yellen is in favor of these foreign taxes, these OECD taxes,
Yes, he is.
American companies and American profits, particularly our technology companies, because Europe doesn't have any technology companies to speak of.
Yeah, and you'd think our president would be defending American companies,
right?
Piling on them. And by the way, Larry, I got to ask you a question because I'm getting asked this a lot by reporters. You probably know better than I do. What is Trump's position on the global minimum tax?
Oh, listen, I can tell you from his first term, having worked through this with him in some detail, his view is a very simple view. Foreign governments do not have the right to tax American companies. Only America has the right to tax or, you know, lower taxes.
It's called sovereignty.
It is a sovereignty issue. He saw it with great clarity. And actually, personally, I communicated that to the French finance minister who was cooking all that stuff up, and none of that stuff went anywhere. Mnuchin didn't like any of that stuff either over in the Treasury Department. But no, Biden will. Look, Liz, you know, if you listen to Biden's rhetoric, it's still how the Trump tax cuts only helped rich people and therefore should be repealed. And, you know, Biden is still attacking companies for inflation, I noticed the other day. He still went after them, too. I mean, this guy is just a complete dopey-dope.
Yeah, I mean, it's really pathetic. He talks about how they upped prices, basically, and they made excessive profits as a result. I mean, I went through in a piece, you know, what the profit margins of all U.S. companies combined look like. In fact, they went down when inflation hit because they didn't raise prices right away to counter the big increases in labor and supply chain costs and energy costs that they were suffering. And then they did, and they got back basically where they had been. There has been no excess profit margin over the time of Joe Biden's presidency. But I want to go back to this issue of Biden versus American corporations. His administration is trying to take down all our biggest, best corporations through antitrust charges at Google and Apple and other companies of that ilk. What is the? Tell me what the point of this is. Tell me why he has allowed this Lina Khan in the FTC to try to bring to heel our biggest and best corporations. I mean, other companies, countries around the world must be looking at this and saying, these are flagship American companies who have literally created trillions of dollars of wealth, hundreds of billions of wealth for most Americans, because most Americans now own stocks, and they probably own these stocks. So what? Tell me what they've done wrong. I mean, I think this is quite an assault on our corporate leadership of a kind we've never seen before.
Well, no argument for me. Listen, I'm for the Gilded Age. That's my favorite period in American history, roughly 1865 to 1910. There was no income tax for anything. And these companies that you described, now let's look at this, the technology story. Steve, we were talking about this the other night on the show. It was last night. I don't know. I lose my mind. They start out with new you know, I think you were using, who was it? Was it you that was using the telephone as an example? Maybe the new cell phones? Anyway, cell phones were very expensive when they first started out.
Mm-hmm.
Those Motorola things, $4,000, whatever it was. You know, now they've come down to what? $100? Couple hundred bucks?
Yeah.
So middle income people and lower income people benefit from technological breakthroughs. But you got to let these companies make a buck, right, in order for them to begin to parse down their costs and their prices and improve the technology. Furthermore, the Trump tax cuts increased real wages. I mean, look, even the Bret Stephens article in the New York Times where he takes off after Trump, he says, but here's why Trump is formidable. Real wages went up after the tax cuts. I mean, it's important stuff. It's got to get out there.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the number, I think his strongest argument among many, if it does turn out to be Trump v. Biden, is, you know, that the average income for the middle class family in America went up by $6,000 in real terms, Larry, over Trump's presidency.
$6,400. Kevin Hassett's number. He was right.
It was. It's the census. But hold
Tyler
on.
Tyler Goodspeed
but under,
was right.
Under Biden, you know what that number is?
Yeah, it's gone down $4,000.
Not four. It's about three because we had some increases this past year, but all about right. 3,000. So that's a $9,000 swing.
That's right. No, that's right. That's exactly right. I don't know what else to say. Liz Peek, you got to read this article, both of you.
The Brett Stevens article?
Yes.
I just did. I thought it was excellent. He's putting it out there as here's the case to make for Donald Trump, who I will try to defeat.
Right.
But I tell you what, if you take out that one sentence,
I worked with him at the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And he hates Trump.
I know, but
he really summarizes why he got elected in 2016 and why he uh-huh. could get elected again.
That's right.
It's obviously the stuff we all talk about: better economy, frankly, better international relations. All this bloviating about how he destroyed NATO, et cetera.
Not true.
Yeah. Exactly.
I got to jump. You both are wonderful. Everybody listen to Steve Moore's radio show. Following this show, I have most of these same stations. And always listen to whatever Liz Peek happens to say. I'm Kudlow. We'll be back next weekend, folks.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.